All right. We have now been joined by Billy Scott, our race winning crew chief, today for the number 45 with Tyler Reddick. Billy, congratulations. I know all wins matter, but the Daytona 500 is always one that feels a little bit more special. Just tell us about those final laps and what it was like from your vantage point on the pit box to watch Tyler make all those moves for the win.
Yeah, it was incredible. You know, we don't get to really see the full view of it, so I'm sure it'll be fun to go back and watch, and it really hasn't sunk in yet either. Certainly exciting. You know, you're happy to just be in contention after, you know, these races. You never know how they're going to play out, and a lot of carnage, and we barely missed a few of them. Got, you know, hit one of the, you know, right there in the first run, first 10 laps or so of the race, got hit in the right rear and got in the middle of that one wreck, and then we barely made it through. So just to be in contention first off is always exciting, and then to realize as we were coming down to the last couple laps that we kept having the lead of a row, and then ultimately to get a big push from our teammate Riley, you know, that's just hats off to him for staying committed with us and giving us the big push, and Tyler making all the right moves.
All right, we'll now go to questions from the media. If you have a question, raise your hand, say your name affiliation. We're going to work to get a microphone to you. We'll start with John Newby, and then we'll go to Matt Weaver. Go ahead.
John Newby, Fan Buzz. The last time you guys celebrated a win, Tyler used the outside lane to fly past Blaney and get into the championship four. Now you guys got a crown jewel. I mean, where do you rank these finishes among the all-time, you know, your eight wins as a crew chief, and then how does he keep doing this on the last lap?
Yeah, that's impressive. There's been a few of them, but that's what it takes. You know, I'd say this is probably the first one. Again, it hasn't really sunk in yet, and I think all the stuff to come out of this is going to be very special. But more than anything, just growing up here on the West Coast, just a few hours from here, and coming here as a kid, sitting in the stands, watching.
It's probably hard to articulate because you're in a moment, but what do you recall about what your, whether it's your blood pressure or where your headspace was throughout the entire course of those last two laps? Because I know how we are in here watching it, so we can't imagine what it's like to be you in the chair.
Yeah, it's a little different. I think once in these situations when you've made the last pit stop and we've kind of in a fan moment, we can, but in moments like this, when their spotters are talking them through every move they make, and they're having to make so many decisions in a few laps, that it's just kind of watching and just out of our hands, kind of hoping for the best.
Okay, I believe Claire has a question.
Claire Belang, Dialed In Journal. You know, you look at all that you put in to try to win a race like this. It now no longer is win and you're in. And so you win this race. And what, you know, what does it mean when you think about that and you think that it's just this win? What does it do for the team? What does it do for the season? We used to say it was win and you're in, but now it still does some things to kick off the season this way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Points are still going to be important. You still get more points for winning. And, you know, that's still what we come here to do. So, yeah, it doesn't make it where we're locked in. But if we had to depend on this win to get ourselves into the chase, then we probably didn't deserve to be there anyway. So, yeah, we've obviously came off of a less than desirable year last year and put a lot of work into a lot of different aspects of our team and how we wanted to approach things and how we wanted to be disciplined on what we can control. And I think we did pretty well at those things tonight, and it paid off. And the results are usually just a result of doing that, putting in your best, and sometimes it works out.
And what does your team owner do for you, Denny Hamlin? Like, when you win, is it like party at 2311, beer for everybody,
yes,
bells ringing? I don't know what you do over there. No,
all of the above. Yeah. This is going to be a different one, celebrating here.
All right, I do want to.
Knows how to do it, though.
I do want to introduce that we have been joined by our race-winning team owner, Denny Hamlin. Denny, thank you for joining us. You are obviously the, you have the most wins of an active driver currently with three. just, you've won it as a driver. You obviously know the excitement Tyler has, but what does it feel like to win it as an owner?
Yeah, it's, oh, is this on? Should be.
It is now? No? Yeah? I can't freaking hear my ears ringing. It's different, but like, it's fantastic. I mean, certainly, you know, I know the odds of winning here is very, very small, but you know, I also know that, you know, this is the most chances I had with five cars, myself and these four 2311 cars. And, you know, just after I got, you know, crashed for the last time at the end, I was like, all I'm looking at is the scoreboard. How many horses I still got left in the race. And, you know, to see, you know, we had quite a few cars up there for that last restart was fantastic. And I knew we had a great shot. And when they told me at the end, I had no idea how it happened. But watching it back, it just was great to see Tyler making all the right moves and Riley just being a great teammate there at the end, giving him the pushes when he needed it. But it's very gratifying. It's certainly more gratifying than other wins that I've had. Brickyard was close, but the 500 is just a little different as an owner. So it's it feels great. It certainly, you know, soothes the sting of our day on the 11 car.
All right, we're going to continue with questions for Billy or Denny, and I will take the next one from Bob.
Bob Parkhurst, Fox Sports. If both of you can answer this, that would be great. How do you feel like Tyler reacted to the winless season last year? Was he frustrated, angry, or is he a kind of more go with the flow? Like, how did he handle it all?
From my side and the things we worked on, certainly frustrated, certainly disappointed, as all of us were. We had expectations and do have expectations way higher than that. But it was never a frustration of discouragement or disappointment or blame or anything else. It was collectively, how do we get better? How do we work on the things that we can improve ourselves? And he has been all in on everything that's come up from ownership, from within our team. He's entered the season with a new rejuvenated outlook on things. And I think we've all felt that internally, and tonight it shows.
So from my standpoint, obviously I was not able to – the off season is usually where I spend the most time at 2311. Obviously this off season I didn't get to spend as much time there as I wanted. But I talked to a lot of people in the shop, and they felt like Tyler had changed his changed his outlook and really was optimistic, all in on correcting the wrongs, right, and wanting to get better this off season. So you know, ownership held a meeting with everyone in competition a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago. I look back there, Tyler's the only one making notes, and he just was really turned on, and so that's what we want out of him, right? I knew 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was, when I talked to him for the first time about, hey, you know, I need you over here. Billy, the same way, by the way. These are two guys that I specifically recruited for 2311, and wanted, you know, Billy was one of the very first ones, and so I just knew that, you know, his ceiling was so, so high. And last year, I don't think the expectations were certainly higher than the results as a whole. But, you know, hopefully, and I'm sure it will, winning a race like this so early in the season, it's just going to, I think, will relieve a lot of self-pressure that Tyler puts on himself. And hopefully he can race this season loose like he always has. That's what we loved about him from the very beginning, is the guy raced loose.
All right. Well, we'll go to Jordan Bianchi.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This is for Denny. Michael, today, going back to the outside the courtroom, you guys were all conciliatory, you know, we're all in this together. That message continued today. Michael, you know, before the race told Fox Sports, we're moving forward, we want to be here, we love this. In Victory Lane, much the same message. Where is that coming from, and you, what is the message you would say down to the sport as it's kind of trying to move forward and put in the past in the past?
I think that I think December was a wake-up call. I think that the conversations since then has been a lot of self-reflection, in my opinion, from NASCAR about I think that they would have done things differently had they had the opportunity to. But we knew that we needed to stick up for what we believed was right. I said all along, I was very confident for the last year because I knew what the facts were, but we have to now figure out how we can get the sport back where it was decades ago. And in order to do that, the only way we can do it is we're all going to have to pull the rope in the same direction. And, you know, even conversations that I've had with NASCAR executives as late as a couple days ago, sitting in a bus talking about what do we need to be 5 years from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now? What does the sport need to look like? Those were all really good conversations, and they were very open to, you know, suggestions. And this is just, it's a little different now. Now the proof will be in what happens, right? You know, is there actions behind the words? But it seems like there's more of a collaborative pull of the rope than what I've, even since December. The team owner meetings were much more productive than what they've been really since I've been an owner. So it seems like they're willing to make the changes that it needs to make the sport grow, because we're all going to be better when the sport grows. And we've got to work really, really hard at it, but I think we can get there.
You're a notorious trash talker. MJ is a notorious trash talker. Why not have a little bit of fun and take some, you know, a little bit of fun jabs or trash, talk a little smack in the euphoria of what happened today and everything?
I mean, I think that, you know, we feel like this is you don't want to take away from what the team accomplished and what Tyler accomplished. And certainly we don't want any headlines written other than Tyler Reddick wins the Daytona 500. So I think that's the most important thing. It's his day. It's Billy's day. And they need to be celebrated.
All right, Jeff, I believe Jeff Gluck had a question.
Denny, all throughout this last few days, NASCAR was holding the yellow. There seemed to be a trend of that. And then obviously they did so, including the last lap tonight. How do you view that as a driver and the way that they officiated the race?
Well, I think everyone is okay with whatever it is as long as it's consistent. And I think you mentioned it on social media, is like, fine, as long as it's the same, or somebody said, as long as it's the same for the whole, all races. And it, this weekend, they were very consistent. So I don't think anyone should have any gripes about that. We saw, you know, they set the tone really on Friday. And so they let those guys race it out. I was on the other end of the track. I can tell you that I didn't think I was in any danger, or the cars, because the ones that did wreck in turn one they all ended up all on the apron or the grass. So they were off the racing surface. Now there might've been one kind of running the apron or something, limping home. But there was no more traffic to go through there. And it seems like how they're calling this now is that if you have to drive back through it, if there's multiple cars, it's got to drive through it, and somebody's on the racetrack, they're gonna call the caution. But it seemed like to me, when I drove through there 30 seconds later, nobody on the racetrack was any danger, so I was fine with it.
All right, we'll come up front here. Yep, and then next. Yep, right there. Yep.
Denny, having Michael Jordan involved in the sport, whether it be today him being in Victory Lane or during the lawsuit. What do you think that means, has meant to the sport?
Well, it's big for the sport. I mean, he's the most popular athlete in the world. I don't think there's any disputing that. You know, he loves the sport, and certainly, you know, he goes to a lot of races. Sometimes you don't even see him, and he's there. He makes more races than people know. He loves this race team. In that same meeting that we had just a few weeks ago with the team, I reminded them about Talladega and how excited he was on pit road. And I was like, you know, do you guys understand the responsibilities that you have, that you have the power to bring joy to Michael Jordan? Like, you have that power, and nobody else can do it. There's nothing else that can bring him the joy that seeing his team can do. And they took it to heart today.
Kind of playing off that, guys, what's it like for you two to win a championship with Michael Jordan?
Yeah. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, like Denny said, it's just cool to see him get the joy out of that. And I can't imagine what it's like playing at the level he did and accomplishing the things he did and then just walking away from it and going back to the things the rest of us normally experience in regular day life, that, you know, this is a huge day for us and a big celebration, but I can't even imagine how it compares to the things he's accomplished. But to watch him genuinely be excited and the celebration that he has is a lot what drives us. I think Denny's always commented that we really celebrate when we get a win. And part of that is feeding off of that. Like, I remember Talladega, and today was much the same. Of the level of excitement he has is unmatched.
You know, I hope this isn't our last Daytona 500, because I'm still a competitor, and there, no matter how excited I am, I would be more excited if I wasn't in the race myself. So I hope that these guys can win a lot of races after I'm done racing, because there's always a part of me after they win. If they won, that means I lost. So I wish I could get rid of that little competitive bug that's in me that says, yeah, but your day, blank, blank, you know? Because I want to have moments like this where I'm unburdened by the competitive fire that I have for driving cars. So just 72 more times, 71 more times, something like that. That I'll have, you know, after that I'll have one more opportunities to celebrate and be able to really enjoy moments like this. So it's going to be up to them to make sure they do it well after I'm done.
All right, Jenna.
Denny, sorry to sorry to keep bringing up December, but Front Row won on Friday, RCR won on Saturday, you guys won on Sunday, all three of the big players from December. Thoughts?
All we do is win. I don't know.
Is that weird?
Huh?
Is that weird?
It's coincidence, obviously, but it's, you know, I'm really happy for them, too. I mean, they're the ones that had to answer all the questions and stuff from last year, and we were working vigorously behind the scenes, you know, it's late nights, reading documents, and just on and on and on. They had no idea what we were doing. They just were the ones that had to come to the racetrack and ask the questions. Was it a distraction, right? So, but they handled themselves like true professionals, and it's great that, you know, they're rewarded by winning the first race this year.
All right, Alan, and then Steven.
Alan Cavana for both of you. Teams, drivers, maybe some fans that didn't win today, they pointed out the fuel-saving strategy in that type of racing, especially the three Toyotas in front slowing down the pace. Is that fixable? Does that need to be fixed, that type of racing? Is there a fix to that?
Well, I doubt there's a fix to it because we're just going to figure out the next way to exploit it. And I don't know that it needs to be fixed. I think we all as competitors are spending as much time trying to figure out what the next best thing is and how to combat what each other's doing. I think it'd be like asking if you need to change how chess is played, right? Like everybody is trying to react off each other and figure out a way to get in the front at the right time. And that depends on whether cautions fly, like stage one where some of them were able to stretch it all the way to the end. And to me, from where we stand, that's a very enjoyable part of it.
There's a way, but we're gonna have to increase the speeds by a lot. You're going to have to make it to where handling matters. That's going to spread the field. That's going to make it to where we're not, it'll look a little more like racing from the past. But as long as their insurance company's okay with it, you're going to have to speed up the cars. Because right now we're so planted in the racetrack that we can just run in this really tight pack. And one of the suggestions is, that we talked about just a few days ago is come here next year in the Clash. Let a few of us come up with a package that we think you won't see any fuel saving. You're just going to see people hanging on. That would be the only fix.
All right, Steven, right behind you, Brent. There you go.
Thank you. Steven Toronto, S Toronto 92 Network. This is going to be a question for Denny. Denny, at Bowman Gray, you talked about, how you expect Riley Herbst and the 35 team to really improve this year. And now, fast forward to today, and on the last lap, he plays, sidekick to Tyler Reddick and gets praised by Michael Jordan for being a team player there. Are you pleased with the way Riley has responded? And, obviously you're pleased with the result of today, but with Riley specifically?
Yes, because I can tell you at his age and after the year he had, it would be very, very hard, as selfish as I am, when he had that run to not just take it. But he specifically followed the 45, pushed the 45 when he needed to, when he could have then pulled beside the 45 and then given himself a legit shot. I really like Riley, especially as a person. He's just a great kid, very humble, very, very humble, a very hard worker. Absolutely, we expect more from him, and today was a great, great sign that hopefully he's turned the corner.
And you mentioned his humility and his hard work. Is that what you've seen from him? And whatever conversations you've had about what you expect from him for 2026, have you seen that reflected in his response to whatever conversations you may have had?
He's always been very self-reflecting. I never question, if he doesn't run well, the first thing he does is figure out, he asks what he could do better, right? It's not, this is not right, that's not right. He's very aware and self-reflects, which is someone that's going to get better at their craft is if that's their mindset. So I've never seen anything in his work ethic that has made me question his ability to get better. And again, time will tell, and we'll see this season where that 35 team is.
All right, we're going to go Chris and then Peter. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Danny. I'm Chris Gallen with NewsDaytonaBeach.com. First of all, congratulations. And I wanted to ask you a question that's similar to one that I asked Jeff Gordon last year, which is, he won the Daytona 500 three times as a driver, twice as the car owner for Jimmy Johnson, and then two more as an executive with William Byron. You have three Daytona 500 wins as a driver, and now this is your first as an owner. I asked Jeff how many he considered himself to have won. Like, how many 500s does Jeff Gordon have? He said three, even though he could have put himself up there with Richard Petty if he wanted to. I'm curious now, do you feel like you're a three-time 500 winner or a four-time?
I would introduce myself as three. I certainly think that our role is very pivotal to getting these guys the resources. But when they unload here early this week, the owners are hands-off. We've given you all the resources. They've made the decisions. it's the team at that point that goes out and wins the race, and so they're the ones that truly deserve all the praise.
Thanks, Denny. Congrats.
All right, Peter, go ahead. I can get a microphone to Peter. Thank you.
Right over here, Denny, to your left. Bubba mentioned on pit road that it was a big deal for Chumba Casino to be on the winning car at Brickyard last year and now Daytona this year as a team owner. How big a deal is that for the sponsor?
Yeah, I mean, they're the main primary on the 45 for this year. They stepped up and did some great things. Xfinity over on Bubba's side stepped up to be the primary. So we got some great partners that really in the off season step up and loved to take the lead role of these cars. And so for them to have, you know, the last the Brickyard 400 win and now the Daytona 500, somebody told me on the last restart that he was starting beside the other casino car. So I'm really glad that we got the better end of that deal overall. So I know that they're absolutely excited. Most of them are over in Australia. So they're, they've just been fantastic to work with. And to see them grow their presence and now be the main sponsor on that 45, this is a way to reward them for that.
All right, and we're going to end with a question follow-up from John Newby.
John Newby, FanBuzz. Danny, earlier you talked about how the sky's the limit for Tyler. I know champion is the easy answer, but can you expand upon that further about, you know, what heights you think he can reach?
Yeah, I just know his ability and the ability to get the most out of a car, to get speed out of it, certainly at times I can't get out of cars. It might be just for a lap, but he'll get speed out of it. And so it's once you find someone that can do that with raw talent, then you start to give him a little bit of racecraft, give him a little bit of 20-year-old wisdom from mistakes I've made in the past. Next thing you know, you've really created a driver there that has got all the pieces that can win a championship. Road course racing, that's been a big part of the NASCAR schedule over the last few years. While it's reduced this year, he's no slouch there. He can go compete. So he's really, other than probably short tracks, that's the last little step for him to get a little bit better at. He's there. He's got the racecraft, and I like Riley, very humble. He's not afraid to come up and ask a lot of questions, even though he's been in the sport now for a little bit of time. So I just try to do my best to, give him all the knowledge I have. Some of the stuff he, probably needs to think twice about implementing, but it's just my job to try to give him all the information and then let him do with it what he wants to. And that's what I love about my job, is that I'm able to come in on Monday, listen to what these drivers talk about, need out of their race cars on Monday, and can relate, because I was just on the racetrack too. So it allows me then to be able to allocate the resources to the right areas that I see fit.
All right, I made the mistake of not calling up to the press box, so we're going to do that really fast, and then you guys will be clear. There is a question in the press box. Go ahead, press box.
Chris Knight, CatchFins.com. Denny, this is three top 10 finishes for 2311 in the Daytona 500. What does that mean for the organization? That hasn't happened very often for you guys to have three cars in the top 10.
Yeah, it's, certainly a good momentum for the team, certainly knowing that every race is really, this season is going to matter, whether it be, someone that's trying to fight for a playoff spot or someone that's probably going to be battling for a regular season championship. So trust me, I'm going to be in a big hole leaving here, but my team's certainly going to feel good about going to Atlanta, knowing that they had a good points day here in Daytona. And it's just really this is where the most eyes is on our sport. This is good for our partners. It's good for everyone on our race team. Winning races certainly helps a lot of things, but when you can win the Daytona 500, I tell you, just early in the season, because I've done it, it really helps with momentum to start the year, because now you're not chasing anything. You're in a good spot. You can race, a lot freer. So those guys that had a top 10, fantastic job for them.
All right. To Billy and Denny, congratulations again to both of you. Thank you for spending time with us, and have some fun as you guys party.
Thank you.
Not too much.